Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody on this one because, as always, after games where the Lakers play at home, it's tough to ask people to kind of sit around and wait for me to finish the recap and get all set up after a game. So you guys are stuck with me. Today's show is going to be a fun one. Just beating the Spurs, real Laker fans out there hold the Spurs in special regard when it comes to hating a team. The Lakers and historically, obviously, the Lakers and Celtics rivalry is untouchable. But over the course of my lifetime, I think I've spent more time hating the Spurs than I have almost any team in professional sports. Like, they're up there with just about any team. It has a lot to do with how good they've been and for how long they've been that good. It has to do with the playoff bouts that the two teams had against each other. Like, it was just, there's a lot of reason to hate that team, and beating them is always fun. That's why last year, sweeping them was just chef's kiss. So we're going to talk a little bit about the game. We're going to talk, I'm going to posture that LeBron James belongs in the MVP conversation. I'll get into more of the details here on that in a bit. Brandon Ingram gets hurt, unfortunately, and was on crutches after the game, so it looks like he's probably going to miss a little bit of time. Luke Walton kind of hinted at what they are going to do with him out, rotations-wise and roles-wise and all of that. I'm going to talk about Luke specifically because he's done some things recently that I think he deserves credit for. And then we'll see where else the show goes. Tyson Chandler and JaVale McGee had an interesting, I guess, dynamic in by the time you guys are listening to this, last night's game. So a lot to get to today. Before we get to any of that, though, I want to quickly remind you guys that on December 13th, that is, by the time you guys are listening to this, what is it, almost a week from now, we will be getting ready for Lakers, Locked On Lakers night at Tom's Urban. I can't wait for that. We're all going to sit there and watch the Lakers take on the Houston Rockets together. I'll be there. Pete will be there. As I've said a couple times, I'm reaching out to people in the industry and all over the place to see where who all we can get there and just sit there and have a couple beers and laugh and watch the Lakers together. So that should be fun. So head over to tomsurban.com/lockedon for details and special offers and more on them in a bit. Let's dive into this, though. Look, I could talk about the game specifically, and I will. I'll reference back to it. But I just want to make a larger overriding point here. People who analyze the Lakers from the outside like to dump on the surrounding and the supporting cast that LeBron has to work with, right? You can't do that and then look at where the Lakers currently are in the standings and say that LeBron isn't among the most valuable players in the league, right? Like, he's among the most valuable players in the league any given year. But especially when I hear all season to this point that, oh, the Lakers don't have enough shooting, the young guys aren't ready, the supporting, the free agent acquisitions, I mean, I've said some of that too. Lance Stephenson, please get out of my life. But the supporting cast makes no sense around LeBron James. And sure, there are aspects of that conversation that are objectively true. If that's the case, though, and the Lakers currently sit thoroughly in the playoff picture, they're on track right now for a 50 win season. If things go along that projection, LeBron James should finish the season among the vote getters for MVP. That's just how this should probably go. That's not to say that he's a front runner right now. That's not to say that there haven't been better performances from guys on teams that have won more games? Absolutely not. Kawhi Leonard has been really good this year. Giannis Antetokounmpo has been really good this year. Kevin Durant has been really good. Anthony Davis has been really good. Nikola Jokic has the Denver Nuggets atop the Western Conference. Russell Westbrook and Paul George have the Oklahoma City above, right there with Denver. So there have been, and this is the thing. I mean, I was going through it when I was thinking about this for the show. There's incredible talent all over the NBA right now. It's insane. You look top to bottom, every team just about has somebody who is worth watching on any given night. Even the lowly Phoenix Suns, now it looks like he's going to be out for a little while with that hamstring issue. But even the Phoenix Suns, who are awful, just a sad team, have Devin Booker. I like watching him, right? You look at Atlanta in the Eastern Conference, they are just not good. They have Trae Young. I enjoy watching him play. And the talent keeps on filtering into the NBA, and the entire league is in such a great place, and that trickles up, right? That idea of, wow, the league is crazy talented, well, that just means the guys who are at the very tip top of the league are putting together some special performances. And I just think that at this point in the season, LeBron James kind of belongs in that category. Shoot me. My thing is, like I said, you can't have it both ways. You can't tell me that the Lakers supporting cast is bad and then also laugh at me when I bring up LeBron for MVP. Now, I don't think that the supporting cast is as bad. And it's funny, every time that the Lakers are on national TV, or any time that any of the Lakers seem to, the non-LeBron Lakers seem to struggle even just a little bit, you get those tweets of, oh my God, I can't believe LeBron signed up just to do Space Jam 2. They still won. They couldn't hit the broadside of a barn from three-pointer while wide open from three-point range all season. They lost a starting small forward / shooting guard, depending on where you put him, in Brandon Ingram. Josh Hart gets into foul trouble. Kyle Kuzma gets into foul trouble. At one point, they were playing Lance Stephenson, KCP, Svi Mykhailiuk, Michael Beasley, and was it JaVale? I think it was JaVale. And of course that didn't turn out well. I think, yeah, whatever that lineup is, I'd have to go back and find it again. But of course it didn't turn out well, right? And yet, the Lakers turned things around and were able to win, and it had a lot to do with the fact that LeBron went full LeBron mode. And you know, when he goes full LeBron mode, you're hard pressed to find a better player, not just playing right now, but really ever. And I just think performances like this, as he's shown, especially since that kind of slow start that the Lakers had to begin the season, he just belongs in that conversation. All right, we're going to take a quick second here to pay some bills. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Brandon Ingram's injury, where that leaves the Lakers, where Luke Walton said that that's going to leave the Lakers, some of their options moving forward. So we're going to get to that here in a second. But first, today's show is brought to you in part by Action Heat. I've talked about them for a little while now. Action Heat is clothing engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. Again, anybody who owns heated car seats can relate to this. They're always on. I can't imagine when it's not in the summertime. They're always on. They feel lovely. It's like having clothes out of the dryer, fresh out of the dryer, that you can just walk around with, and they're going to stay at that temperature. It just sounds lovely, especially if you're in colder areas in Southern California. And even if you aren't using the heat panels for their intended purpose, you can charge your phone with it. That's just, it's ingenious. It really is. So check them out at actionheat.com/lockedon, and by going to that specific slash, you get to slash 20% off of your purchase. So again, that's actionheat.com/lockedon, or when you're checking out, enter the coupon code LOCKEDON and save 20% off of your order. It's great stuff. I put in an order myself. I can't wait to get it. I might just walk around here in the house wearing this Action Heat gear. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to talking for the rest of this podcast about where the Lakers currently sit, given some of the injury concerns. So we'll get to that here in a second. So first off, first and foremost, I talked earlier about why I hate the Spurs. A huge part of why I hate the Spurs is because Bruce Bowen admitted to stepping under multiple basketball players' feet to roll their ankles. And when LaMarcus Aldridge did that to Brandon Ingram, remember, Ingram was fading away from the basket. There was no reason whatsoever that LaMarcus Aldridge, who isn't exactly this kind of crazy defender who contests all kinds of shots, by the way, he's one of the league's worst defenders this season, took an extra step forward, just happened to be under Brandon Ingram's left ankle when he was landing. Ingram goes down, and he stayed in to make the free throw, because if he didn't, he wouldn't have been able to. He would have been eliminated from the game. He makes a free throw, walks to the locker room, and was immediately called questionable. And then by the time halftime was over, was ruled out for the game. He was seen after the game for the post-game pressers that they do there, on crutches with his foot in foot in a boot. So that's probably not great. It seemed like the kind of thing that I don't know. I don't want to diagnose and do all that without as much information as is necessary to handle that kind of thing. But it looks like he's going to miss at least a little bit of time. And everybody on the Lakers seemed to acknowledge that as well. Lonzo Ball said that they're going to miss Ingram a little while. Luke Walton said that they're going to have to try some different things to make up for his absence. So the fact that they're acknowledging an absence is on the way, that kind of tells me that he's going to be out a bit. So what can the Lakers do? Well, first and foremost, and Walton did a much better job, I thought, in the second half of doing this, is staggering Lonzo and LeBron. There should be 0 minutes where either Lonzo or LeBron aren't on the court at the same time. Preferably, they're both out there, and I would imagine that's how they're going to close games and obviously start them. But we all saw that lineup. We all saw what it looked like when Lance and Svi were kind of told, "All right, bring the ball up the court." It just wasn't pretty. And actually, Lonzo had a quote at the end of the game that I thought was really telling and it spoke exactly to what I've been saying about why the Lakers miss Rajon Rondo. And Lonzo, this is from Harrison, that one guy. He goes, "Lonzo, I'm possibly being staggered with LeBron. Wherever Luke puts me out there, I'm going to do whatever I can to help this team win. I'd have the ball in my hands more, initiating the offense, trying to get guys the ball in the right spots and make sure we don't lose leads." So that we don't lose leads, that's exactly what I talk about there. It's about discipline. When you build a lead up and you want to, at the very least, tread water so that lead is maintained throughout the rest of the game, it takes discipline. Not trying to go for knockout punches when you don't necessarily have to. You don't knock teams out in the third period with a random three-pointer. You build up a lead and then you just beat them down with body shots for the rest of the game. That's how I prefer to approach playing against teams with a lead. And so I think that's the right thing for Luke to do. He did mention, you know, sometimes having Lance play some point guard if they're absolutely hard pressed, or have Speed play some point guard when they're absolutely pressed. But that should be a break glass in case of emergency, and even then consider just letting the house burn down type of thing. Here's my thing with Lance, and I'll send it to break after this. Here's my thing with Lance. He does all kinds of things that if a young guy did them would never see the light of day on a basketball. He would never play. He over dribbles. He misses rotations defensively. he takes these contested mid-range jumpers that he isn't good at. He stopped making threes at this point in the season. He's kind of regressed back to what we all knew that he was from out there. And so there's just no point in playing the guy. And even with the Lakers as thin as they are right now, I'd be looking for every possible way to avoid playing the guy. He's just not good. All right, we're gonna take a quick break here, pay some bills, and when we come back, I'm gonna finish up by giving some props to Luke Walton, and I think he deserves some credit here. Pete and I gave him credit in yesterday's show when we talked about the defense. That a lot of that kind of continued, but I think the way he handled last night's game, was really exemplary. And then also, I think Josh Hart deserves some praise here as well. So we'll get to that here in a second. But before we do, I want to again remind you guys, December 13th, Tom's Urban, right across from Staples Center, out there in LA Live. Locked On Rams has already done theirs. Locked On Clippers have already done theirs. Tom's Urban was really happy with how those things went. And really, like, what it comes down to is we got to outperform Locked On Clippers, right? We can do this. So they're going to have it's going to be happy hour prices. There's going to be specials. If you log on to tomsurban.com/lockedon for all the special exclusives and information on the show, I'm working out with them some way to have some kind of live show, even if that means it might not be recorded or whatever for this stream. Pete and I and maybe some other people are going to hop out there and answer some questions from you guys. So I hope to see you guys there, and I hope to watch the game with you. Tom's Urban, in and of itself, I want to just – their food is great. They have incredible cocktails. They have a really cool upstairs area with, I think they said, 50 taps, which is just insane. And you get to pour the beer yourself. So let's all meet up there on December 13th. And I can't wait. We're going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to finish up this conversation about the Lakers beating the Spurs, Luke Walton, Josh Hart, all that stuff, and send you on your merry way. All right, so I had said on this podcast a couple times and then previously on another few shows that I had done, but Luke Walton was semi-frustrating in some of his rotations. The offense was pretty ugly, and the offense remains pretty ugly if we're all being honest here. But I thought, given everything that was going on here, let's look back at this. Now, the Lakers are already playing down a guy. They're already playing without Rajon Rondo, and we can all be frustrated about some of the decisions Luke has made regarding Rondo and regarding Lonzo and all of that. They miss him. They do miss Rajon Rondo. So they're already playing down him. They lose Brandon Ingram. I think it was in the first quarter that they lost him. They essentially lose Kyle Kuzma like a couple plays after that. He picks up his second foul. Josh Hart, who came in to replace Brandon Ingram when he went down with injury, well, he picks up three fouls in the matter of, I mean, Travis Knight would have been proud of how quickly Josh Hart picked up those fouls. So the Lakers are already down basically four rotation players. They're down half of their rotation, essentially. And what that led to in the second half, when Luke couldn't really plan for anything in the moment, what that led to was that really weird lineup where there was no Lonzo or no LeBron out there, and everything just went to crap. The entire team seemed to play in a bit of a funk for the majority of the game, really until the last, I would probably say, 6 minutes or so, I think, was when they started waking up. And I think LeBron had a lot to do with that, too. There was a play, he spun, picked up an and one, and Staples Center obviously went nuts. It was a nice play by LeBron, and he kind of looked around at his teammates, and it was weird. His teammates were like, kind of down, and maybe it was the way that the game was being officiated. Maybe it was already thinking about missing Brandon Ingram for a significant amount of time. You never, I mean, all these guys, we've already heard a bunch about how close this locker room is. And so you never want to see a friend get hurt, right? Like physically hurt. So whatever it was, the Lakers were in kind of a funk. LeBron makes that basket, and I think that helped wake him up. But Luke is dealing with all of this as a head coach, and by the way, doing this on a nationally televised game that you know narratives are going to be written about if the Lakers lose to the lowly Spurs. I love saying that. Say that. I'm going to say that again. If the Lakers lose to the lowly Spurs, one more time. The lowly Spurs. Ah, that's great. That's amazing. But you know what's going to happen there, is Magic going to have another meeting with Luke in which he berates him for whatever frustration he has in the moment? Is LeBron going to lose his patience with not just the younger roster around him, but also the young head coach? You just know how those things are all going to go. And yet Luke keeps his head, keeps guys focused, and makes it work in the second half, and the Lakers are able to pull out a somewhat improbable win. I was in charge of the recap tonight for Silver Screen and Roll, and I had written down, I wrote Brandon Ingram sprains ankle as Lakers lose to Spurs. They won, and I think that has a lot to do with Luke's cool head and ability to adjust to that situation. And I thought that second half, when they had a halftime to figure out, all right, this is how we got to make this rotation work. In the second half, we got to figure out how to get LeBron and Lonzo so that they're never not on the court at the same, or so that they're never on the bench at the same time. I was really impressed with how that game went. And also, mind you, there was a lot of frustration. I think the Spurs were probably frustrated with the officiating in the game, but it's really rare that I complain about refs, and that was one of the most poorly refereed games I've seen in a long time. None of the Lakers picked up a tee. I thought for sure Luke was going to get thrown out. He did not. Everybody kind of kept their heads, and the Lakers wind up getting that win. And really, given how tight the West is, that's a big one. That's a big win. I mentioned while I was talking about Luke Walton that he kind of helped keep guys focused. I want to give some shout-outs to Josh Hart. I mean, think about it this way. Dude plays 30 seconds in the first half, comes out, starts the second half in place of Brandon Ingram, and picks up his fourth foul, I believe, within the first 3 minutes or so of the game. It might have been even sooner. So he was basically cold for the majority of the game. Goes out there and was asked to hit big shots down the stretch. And there was one, the first one that he hit, I thought really changed the game. LeBron was doing LeBron things, and LeBron is always going to be capable of doing LeBron things. But LeBron had made, I think one pass was to... No, it was two straight passes to Kyle Kuzma for wide-open three-pointers that would have blown the absolute roof off the house. Kuzma missed both of them, and it was kind of the Lakers were just kind of treading water. They were up by three, and then they were up by one, and then they were down by one, and it was just kind of exchanging blows with the Spurs. And then Josh Hart the ball goes out to him, and he had time to kind of hesitate and catch himself because the other shots he had released earlier in the game were all pretty ugly. He kind of catches himself, he checks himself and makes sure he puts a good stroke on it, hits nothing but the bottom. And I thought that really changed the game. That Hart makes a three-pointer there. I think LeBron scored again, and then Lonzo hit a three. And the Lakers, I believe, I think they were down by three at one point, and then went on like a 19-7 run to close out the game. I thought Josh Hart, for two things, being able to step in and despite the frustrations of the game. Remember, he walked into the walkway. He walked away from the Lakers bench. Walked into the hallway and collected himself, walked back out there and was there with his teammates, hits those big three-pointers, also helps a ton on defense and plays good defense on Rudy Gay, who was torching the Lakers for the vast majority of the game. It was a good win all around. The Spurs have not been good this season, and you know, needing to close out a victory late in the fourth quarter against most not very good teams is usually not great. But when you consider everything that the Lakers went up against, that was a ton of bumps in the road that the Lakers had to encounter over the course of that game and even heading into that game. And that's where you really learn who you are as a person is during times of adversity. And the Lakers, I thought, passed that test in flying colors. So shouts to the Lakers. I'm in a great mood. I'm probably not going to sleep for another 5 hours or so. I'm pumped. That was a great win. Lakers wind up winning 121-113. Next time you hear from me, I'll be talking to Pete about this game. I'm going to run by my MVP take. I'm going to run that by him and see what he has to say about that. And we'll have some fun with it to send you guys off into the weekend. So again, check out tomsurban.com/lockedon, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.